بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Before we start today's ahadith, it is very important that we understand that what is the status and what is the situation with the people that have passed on, the people in the qabr. Do they hear us? Can they hear what we say? When we're speaking, can they listen to what we are saying? So this is very important, the discussion, and very important for us to understand so that we don't misunderstand these things, because people don't see it, they don't witness it. A lot of times, a lot of superstition comes in and misunderstanding comes in. So what is our belief with regards to a person that has passed away? So very simply put, this discussion comes in Ma'riful Quran also, under the ayat, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you are unable to make the dead hear. And also a reference is made to this ayat, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ, that you cannot make the person in the qabr listen. You can't make him hear. So what is our belief as far as the person that is buried is concerned? Can he hear? Does he have the ability to hear? So very simply put, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the ability for the dead to hear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made it such that we can make them hear. When we speak, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to hear, then they will hear. So they've got that ability to listen. That ability and capability to hear, the actual hearing ability is there. But we can't make them hear. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes them hear, number one. Number two is, we believe in those sahih hadith that say that on this specific occasion, the dead hears what the person is saying. And we believe on that occasion, he will specifically hear. But doesn't necessarily mean at another occasion, when for some other reason that is not mentioned in the hadith, that he'll definitely hear. There again we'll say that the ability is there, only if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to hear, he'll hear. If he doesn't want him to hear, he won't hear. So as simple as that, where the hadith specifically states, for example, we'll do many hadith, but just one example I'll give, is where a person makes salam, he enters the qabr and he makes salam, the qabrustan, and he makes salam to the dead. There we are told that they hear the salam of the person who is entering. When he comes to the qabr of his brother and he makes salam to him, this person actually replies to his salam. So now we know from the sahih hadith that he hears the salam. So on that occasion we believe fully that this person is hearing that salam. Where there is specific mention in the hadith that the dead person is hearing, we believe in that he is hearing. And then our general belief is that we are unable to make them hear anything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to hear, then only they will hear. Otherwise, if we just take it as a general, that the person in the qabr is listening to everything, then people will write Kar Gozaris. Whole life story, that this person got married, this person passed away, this is what the turnover is in the business, this is what the losses are. People will start talking to them. You see, it should never happen like that. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, whatever Sahaba did, whatever the Tabi'een did, that's what we will do. We won't go beyond that. We won't go and do extras. And at the same time, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has showed us to do some things, then we won't fall short. We don't do extra, and at the same time, we don't fall short. So this is important discussion that comes under these ahadith. And Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man qara'a al-Qur'an thumma mata qabla an yastadhhirahu, atahu malakun yu'allimuhu fi qabrihi, fayalqa Allah wa qad istadhharahu. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a person reads the Quran and he passes away before having memorized it. So this person was learning the Quran. He was becoming a hafiz in a slow way. It doesn't matter whether he was doing it full time or in his small way. He was trying every day to try and learn one ayah, to try and learn a little bit. Whether he started with Yasin first, or started with Surah Mulk, started with Waqia, the easy surah. But he made niyat, let me start learning the Quran. So this is what this hadith is saying. When a person reads the Quran and he passes away before having memorized it, an angel comes to him in his grave and teaches him, so that when he meets Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, he will meet him in a state of having memorized the Quran. So he just started in his small way of learning, and then he passed away like that. He didn't complete the Quran. Allah Pak will appoint one angel in the qabr, you be his ustad. You teach him the Quran, so when he is resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, what will happen? He will be resurrected in the condition that he is a Hafizul Quran. He will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of having memorized the Quran, so that he is not deprived of the high ranks as stated in the narration of Atiyya rahmatullahi alayhi, so that he may reward him for it. These actions in the grave reading the Quran, performing salah, etc., are not fulfilled as an obligation, but to obtain enjoyment from these acts of worship and as a way to increase one's rank. So again, in the Qabr, why this is happening? There's not any obligation. Now there's no obligation in the Qabr that this is faraz, this is wajib, you need to do tilawat of Quran, you need to read salah. So then why is the person doing these things? We did the hadith before of Thabit al-Bunani, rahmatullahi alayhi, made dua to read Quran and to recite salah or read salah in the Qabr. And another sahabi, we see it, that he was reciting Quran in his Qabr. So why is this done? Yeah, this is explained that it's not done as an obligation, but to obtain enjoyment from these acts of worship and as a way to increase one's ranks. This is again the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the person that has passed away. عن قيس بن قبيصة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من لم يؤمن لم يؤذن له في الكلام مع الموتى قيل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هل يتكلم الموتى قال نعم ويتواردون قيس بن قبيصة رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said the person who is not a believer is not permitted to speak to the dead. The person who is not a believer is not permitted to speak to the dead. He was asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do the dead speak to each other? He replied, yes, and they also meet each other. The dead, not only do they speak to each other, they also meet each other. That's why one of the enjoyments of a person when he passes away, the enjoyment he gets of meeting his parents, the enjoyment he gets of meeting his friends, the enjoyment he gets of meeting the pious of the past, the enjoyment he gets of meeting Sahaba, the enjoyment he gets of meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something else. It's such an enjoyment, really, that a person only who experiences this actually feels sorry for us. Not that how we normally feel so sorry for the person that has passed away, but if only he could relate, a pious person could relate what he is experiencing, we will actually envy him that how lucky this person is. We won't be so sad and so sorrowful, we'll actually feel so excited that what this person is going through. Let's do one more hadith. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min rajulin yazuru akhahu wa yajlisu indahu illa sta'nasa bihi wa radda alayhi hatta yaquma. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person visits his Muslim brother's grave and sits near him, he becomes acquainted with him and replies to his salam until the person gets up and leaves. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person visits his Muslim brother, that is, he visits his grave, and he sits near him, he becomes acquainted with him and he replies to his salam until the person gets up and leaves. So now this hadith specifically is telling us that this person in the Qabr is replying to the salam of the person that came to visit him. So here we know specifically that the salam of the living person is heard by the dead person. So here in this, like this is a good example of the hadith where we know that this is what he is hearing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of valuing these moments of life that we got. We don't know when this life can be taken away. Yesterday I went for a janazah last night. One brother passed away, family member. It was Asr time, being a Friday, Asr time. He just started his Asr Salah. He started his Asr Salah, and in his Asr Salah, he collapsed and passed away. Perfectly normal person, healthy person. The family also was surprised that just before that he was laughing, joking, talking to them, walking about, normal. They even asked him just before his Salah, would you like to have a cup of tea? He said, after Salah, I have my tea. So the family was still preparing the tea, even to read his Salah. Whilst reading his Salah, he collapsed and he passed away. So this is life. It is no guarantee of life. A person is here one day, is here one minute, and the next minute this person is gone. So this teaches us something, that don't take life for granted. Don't leave things for later. Whatever a person can do now, he should do it now. Life is something that is very uncertain. And then in that split second, whatever you have now, you leave it. In other words, the only thing you're going to take now in your onward journey, in that short while, is your actions and your amal. The only thing we will take is those good deeds that we have done. So therefore, at every minute and every stage of our life, we should prepare for akhirat, we should prepare for death, we should be such that I'm 100%, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take me away today, I'm not in any position where I'm not prepared for my death, or I have not started my preparation for my journey. Sometimes a person might not be prepared immediately, but he starts his preparation, those qaza namazes that I've got, I'm starting to make all those qaza salas, those sajda itilawat that I need to make, I'm starting to make, all those people I'm owing money, I'm starting to make arrangements to pay them. Whatever is outstanding, I'm already contacting the people and making arrangements. If I hurt anybody, I start phoning and asking for maaf. So a person starts preparing in this way. From that hadith of that person learning the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates so much that He appoints an angel in the khabar that you teach in Quran. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't appreciate that the person started making all the preparations for that. Inshallah, there's great hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept as though the preparations were complete and he had fulfilled whatever he needed to do, just because he started and he made intention that before I pass away, I want to complete all this that is outstanding. There's great hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this from him. May Allah give us tawfiq of amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.